Go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Being tonight is communion, we're going to take a break from our usual study the past several weeks in Colossians, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, and be a little different than the past few weeks. Instead of going verse by verse, we're going to look at two chapters, verses chapter 9 and 10, and we're just going to be able to read it tonight, and just give us real little prepare our hearts as we continue to look into the communion tonight, And it also reflects on Sunday school. Lyle's been going through the tabernacle and how it relates a picture of Jesus Christ. And chapters 9 and 10 give us a good overview of reflecting on the Old Covenant and then to the New Covenant. And we're just going to read several verses here. It'll be just time just to be able to picture in our minds as we prepare for the communion tonight, recognizing how great a sacrifice Christ did for us. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. And says here in verse 11, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For with the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Let's open our word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this passage and how it reminds us how great a sacrifice you gave up in coming to earth to live a life of you are the King of Kings, but yet you're willing to humble yourself and live in poverty. And you were shunned, yet you should be praised. And you were willing to die on the cross for our sins. You did not deserve this death. You were righteous, but yet you were died on the cross for our sins. May tonight, as we look at this passage, may you be glorified in this message, as well as may you encourage the hearts of those who are here tonight. May they desire to love you more as we look at this passage. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And so we consider to look a little closer at this passage of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14 and following. It says here, "But Christ being come as a high priest." And the first 10 verses refer back to the Old Testament. This high priest would come every year, and with the blood of bulls and goats, he would offer it as a sacrifice for the people. And it was an offering that they were to do to follow the law, and this high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and it was a picture of God's kingdom in heaven. And he would go into the Holies of Holies, and he would offer this gift as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. But as we find in this passage, it did not take away the sins of the people. And there had to be a greater sacrifice that this picture would represent. Jesus Christ would come and live on earth, and then he would die on the cross for our sins, and then he would enter into heaven. And with his blood shed, he now brings a greater sacrifice. And it's not just a picture of heaven, this tabernacle, but as Jesus Christ entered into heaven, and he presents his precious gift of eternal life to us, and that he gives us his shed blood for our sins. He comes into God's presence in heaven, and it's a better sacrifice than the high priest gave in verses 1 through 10. But verse 11 says here, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." So this tabernacle is in heaven. Christ entered into the heavens. The high priest would just enter the tabernacle made with hands here on earth. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so he enters into God's presence with his shed blood, and he's obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13, "For with the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. So if this blood could for 1 year atone for their sins, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So his sacrifice was much more greater. His blood was perfectly sinless, and he offered it in the presence of God. Verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, which they are called, might receive the promise of eternal life. And so those people who looked in the Old Testament, looked to this sacrifice once a year, that continued to do this, it was a picture of the future when Jesus Christ would offer the perfect sacrifice. Verse 16, for there where our testament is, there must also necessity be the death of the testator, the passing of this Old Testament sacrifice. Verse 17, for a testament is for the force that after men are dead, otherwise it is for no strength at all, while the testator liveth. Verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. And so this Old Testament system was dedicated by Moses. And we'll look at these next few verses, how Moses dedicated this earthly tabernacle in verse 19 and following. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool, with hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people. But this man, after he had offered, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged or purified with the blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And so Moses purified all the tabernacle. But verse 23, it says here, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, by the heavenly things themselves, with better sacrifice than these. So the Old Testament tabernacle was purified by the blood of bulls and goats. But yet Jesus went into God's presence, and he purified his sacrifice and up in heaven because he was sinless. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often. So in the Old Testament, they had to do it on a regular basis, annually, every year, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So the Old Testament system, the priest would come in with the blood of the bulls and goats and atone for the sins of the people. But yet Jesus comes in with his own blood, which is perfect and sinless, and he has a greater sacrifice. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And that's what we look forward to. Verse 10 here, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And so this is kind of a confusion that this writer of Hebrews is saying, is that this very act, why did we need a better sacrifice? Because this actual offering did not please God. We'll find that here in these next few verses. For then would not they have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged or purified should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. So they're reminded every year that they are sinners, and that they have to continue to offer the sacrifice for their sin. But verse 4 says, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but the body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. So he has no pleasure in these Old Testament system sacrifices. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Verse 8, above them he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, how that he's taken away the Old Testament second system and establishing a better one. Verse 10, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. No longer was it every year did the Jewish people have to continue to go and offer a sacrifice to be reminded of their sin. Now, Jesus, once and for all, he has paid the penalty for our sin. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. So this, they could not pay the penalty of their sin. It was always a picture of their faith, of believing in the future Messiah. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, Jesus, for the sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So he went into the presence of God himself. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It's only by Jesus. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And who are those that are sanctified? Look back at verse 10. By which we are sanctified, we ourselves are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So we are sanctified by Jesus. Verse 15, where the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. This comes from Jeremiah. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's ultimately Jesus fulfilled this prophecy in Jeremiah. He came, and this covenant he accomplished by putting it in our hearts. Those who received Jesus Christ now have the laws written in their hearts. In their minds, and they have this eternal salvation. It says here, and their sins and iniquities will remember no more. So just like the Old Testament system, where they repeatedly on a yearly basis, they're reminded of their sinfulness, Jesus has paid the full penalty for our sins. We don't have to on a yearly basis continue to go back and offer a new sacrifice for our sins. He has paid the full penalty for our past, present, and future sins. Now it says here in verse 18, now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. And so we, as Christian believers in Jesus Christ, now we have confidence. Now when we go into God's presence and pray, we can have confidence that when God looks upon us, he does not see our sin, but he sees Jesus Christ's righteousness in our life. He's given us his righteousness, and then also he's paid the penalty with his shedding of his blood. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Simply by the blood of Jesus, we can have this boldness. We can have the ability to go into his presence. We don't have this guilt or remember our sin. Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins, and this gives us victory. So continue on, verse 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And so the only person that could go past the veil into the holiest of holies was the high priest. But now Jesus has gone into the holiest of holies up in heaven. It says here in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And verse 24 is our last. And let us consider one another to provoke one another, provoke unto love and good works. So now as you think about this passage, we can go into God's presence and a confidence that he has paid for our sin, both past, present, and future. But also, as we consider ourselves here today, our walk, let us consider one another and provoke one another in love and good works. We can encourage each other to love each other and to encourage each other to have good works. Because as we transition now to communion time, the deacons can come forward. We'll look at Colossians. You can turn there to Colossians chapter 11. And so think about this, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11.